daf is Chagiga daf Vav. We are holding on daf Hey Amud Beis at the toward the bottom of the page. We're at Rav Idi. Last words on the line are Rav Idi, about seven lines before the end of the page. We're going to finish up daf Hey Amud Beis with a discussion about Yom Echad Bishana, whether a single day during a year can count as a full year regarding certain halachas. And then the Gemara is going to go back to discuss the issue of a katan being Ola L'Regel, the Katan, at what age a Katan is Ola L'Regel. We had Machlokes in the Mishnah, Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel, and the Gemara is going to discuss how we reconcile that with the story in the Navi about Shmuel HaNavi when he was a very young child, where he was not Ola L'Regel as a very young child. The Gemara is also going to discuss what if a Katan also happens to be disabled, he's a Chiger, he's a Suma, something like that. Is he obligated to be Ola L'Regel? And then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, going over to Amud Beis, for the majority of Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss the Ola that was brought in the Midbar, whether that was an Ola Sri'iya or whether that was a Karban Tamid, and we're going to line up different Tanaim on each side of the argument. Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shmuel, Beis Shammai, all hold that it was an Ola Sri'iya, whereas Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yossi, all hold, and Rabbi Yossi Glili, all hold that it was an Ola Tamid, that it was a Karban Tamid, and the Gemara is going to show how we know that each of these Tanaim hold this opinion. And then at the very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to raise a question about how to punctuate a pasuk, and it's going to say that there's a big nafgamina in terms of punctuation, in terms of nedarim. If a person takes a neder, so punctuation in the pasuk, or the trap in the pasuk, very often makes a very big difference in terms of how to read the pasuk. So let's begin from Rav Idi, again about seven lines before the end of the page on Hayam and Beis, the last words on line. Rav Idi avod Rabbi Yaakov Bari. Rav Idi was the father of Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, which again is fairly common throughout the period of Tanaim and Amoraim that the grandson and the grandfather would have the same name. It's still very common that Rav Idi was the grand. So we see that the minhag had already developed to name after family members at that time. So Rav Idi was the father of he was the father of Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, obviously, because that doesn't show him named after a grandfather. That just shows that he was his son's father. But he was the father of Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, and have a ragged of a azul plus a yarchi buurcha. And he used to go 3 months on the road, the chad yom of beirav. And after traveling for 3 months, he would only spend one day in yeshiva. Vavakarle rabbanon bar beirav the chad yom. And the rabbanon used to refer to him as a bar beirav the chad yom. He's a one day yeshiva student because he's spends 3 months traveling there, 3 months traveling back. So every 6 months, he only has one day in yeshiva. Cholesh Daite, he was distraught by this. So he said about himself that everyone's mocking me, I'm a joke. So he said that Rabbi Yochanan said to him, I beg of you, don't look badly at the Rabbanan. They're going to get punished on your account because they're making fun of you. Rabbi Yochanan went to teach the Rabbanan how to view someone like this who spends 3 months traveling for one day in yeshiva, and he darshined, V'osi yom yom yidrushun v'das darchi yechafetzun. Yom darshino so, belayla in darshino so. Why does it say that it's yom yom yidrushun, that we seek out Hashem day by day? What is it, only during the daytime that we seek Hashem out? It's not during the nighttime. El lomel chatz to teach us kala osik b'tara afili yom echad b'shana mala lavakasav kilu asa kala shana kula, that if someone learns Torah even just one day a year, it's as if he learned Torah throughout the entire year. And therefore we shouldn't look badly at Rav Idi because he is someone who was dedicated that one day of year to learning Torah. The Prit Tzadik writes that this does not mean to say that if someone has the ability to learn every single day, they can learn one day a year and say, oh, it's enough in a Gemara, it's Ki'ilu, I learn the whole year. He says, obviously, this is referring to someone who is unable to learn more than one day a year. You have to remember, the Torah Shebal Peh was not written down yet at the time. He couldn't learn at home. The only way for him to learn was to go to the Beis Medrash. For some reason, he couldn't move. He couldn't move to a closer location where he wouldn't have to travel 3 months. Unclear why, but we don't know what his life circumstances were that he was unable to move. So that was the best he was able to do. The best he was able to do was to go for one day a year. This is all the way Rashi understands it, that it was traveling, 3 months of travel in either direction and only one day of learning in between them. Rashi understands that he would go somewhere for his parnasa and he would stay, and he would that he would spend so much time involved in this parnasam just to try to make ends meet that he only had one day left to learn. It wasn't the travel time to the Beis Medrash that took 3 months. It was the time that he spent working, the time that he spent being osik b'parnasa. V'chein b'midas paranas, and we find this concept of one day a year counting as a whole year on the negative side as well. D'chsev b'mispar yamim asher tartem es ha'aretz v'chi arbaim shana chatu v'alo abram yom chatu. Did the Meraglim sin for 40 years? They sinned for 40 days. That's the amount of time that they spent scouting out the land. This teaches us that anyone who violates an avera even one day during the year, it's as if he did it the entire, it's as if he violated the avera the entire year, and therefore it's they get 40 years for their 40 days. Now it's a little bit different over here. It's not Yom Echad Bashana. It's 40 days Bashana. It's 40 consecutive days. So to say that Yom Echad Bashana is Chashav Shana, it's hard to see how you get that from the Meraglim. The Meraglim, 40 consecutive days within a single year, Lechor would still only count as 1 year. That's different than one day out of the year. So a little bit difficult to understand how we see that from the Meraglim. It's also somewhat difficult to understand why it's equivalent. Meaning we said that on the positive side, if the person's osik b'tarah, Yom Echad Bashana is ki'ilu he was lo mitarah kol hashana, he was osik b'tarah kol hashana kula. And the same is true on the negative side. Normally we assume the same is not true on the negative side. Midah tovah is meruba mimidas pranas, that it should be greater in midah tovah than it should be in midas pranas. Midas pranas should be less intense than the midah tovah. I haven't seen these questions asked, just throwing it out there. Okay, ezu katan. So going back to the halachic discussion, now that we finished the agadata, ezu katan, kol she'inu yachal lirkov al ksefa shal aviv. The Mishnah discussed at the very beginning of the Masechta, what is the, who's a katan that's obligated that the father's obligated to bring him to be olah l'regel? It was a machlokas Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. That Beis Shammai said anyone who's unable to at least ride on his father's shoulders to go from Yerushalayim to Har HaBayis is too young, but once he's able to ride on his father's shoulders, then the father has to bring him. And Beis Hillel said, Kol she'inu yachal lechos biyado shel aviv, lalos Yerushalayim to Har HaBayis, has to be even older than that. The child has to be able to hold on to the father's hand and walk with the father from Yerushalayim to Har HaBayis. If the child's old enough to do that, then the child should be brought to be olah l'regel. Mask for Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira asked the question, Ad hachaman asya, he says, well, until Yerushalayim, who brought him to that point? I mean, we're dealing with a very young child, cannot be away from his mother for a very long period of time. If he's going from, if the geder is how old he is to be able to walk from Yerushalayim to Har HaBayis, he had to get to Yerushalayim in the first place. Amar Le Abaye, Abaye says, yeah, that's exactly right. He had to get to Yerushalayim and his mother had to be there for him. Ad hacha de mechayve imei besimcha, I see say imei. His mother, who is chayiv in simcha, would have to come to Yerushalayim anyway, so his mother would bring him to Yerushalayim. Mikan ve'elech, and then from that point on to the Har HaBayis, im yachal lalos v'lechos biyado shalav im Yerushalayim la Har HaBayis chayiv, v'ilo upater, if he's old enough that he could hold his father's hand and go from Yerushalayim to the Har HaBayis, then great, then he's going to be chayiv. Otherwise, he's going to be pater. The mother's chayiv in simcha, so Rashi says, mechayiv b'simcha lalos l'regel v'lesmoch b'chag im baila. That women are commanded in simcha in the sense that they're supposed to be celebrating together with their husbands in terms of the simchas yom tov. Tosos over here on the top points out the mechayvi ime b'simcha pirush Rashi parakamet the kedushin gabi isha baila mesamcha bebavel bigdei tzavonim beretzal bigdei pishtan v'achamashmet the b'shalmei simcha meiri. He says it's a little bit different than what it sounds like in Maseches Kedushin and Maseches Psachim, in Maseches Psachim in the 10th parak, and Maseches Kiddushin talks about the husband's chiyuv to be misameach ishto with whatever makes her happy. In Bavel they wore certain types of clothing, and clothing would make her happy, so he should buy her that type of clothing. In Eretz Yisrael they wore a different type of clothing, he should buy her that type of clothing. But it didn't seem like it was talking about the actual shalmei simcha. Over here it sounds like she should participate in the actual shalmei simcha. But whatever it is, that simcha has to to be together with the husband, meaning the husband's only experiencing his simcha if his wife is there, if the whole family is together. So the mother anyway has to come to Yerushalayim, and therefore our Gemara is not necessarily a raya one way or the other in terms of what the nature of the woman's experience of simcha is, more as much as it is just a statement that the woman obviously has to be in Yerushalayim in order for the mitzvah of simcha to take place. So that's why the woman is bringing the child anyway, and then the husband will bring the child from Yerushalayim to Har HaBayis. Heishiv Rabbi Tachas Beis Hillel L'divrei Beis Shammai V'chana Lo Olsa Ki Amra Li'isha Ad Yigamel Hanar Vavi Yosef. Chana didn't want to bring Shmuel because she said that wait till he's weaned off of nursing, wait till he's not nursing anymore, then we'll go and we'll bring him to Yerushalayim. So Frek the Gemara Vash Shmuel Diach Lirkav Ksefer Shalav Vava. Beis Hillel Rebbe points out that Beis Hillel could have asked to the Beis Shammai that you, the Beis Shammai, say that as soon as he's old enough to ride on his father's shoulders, you have to go bring him all the regel. Well, Shmuel was old enough to ride on his father's shoulders, and his mother still didn't want to bring him to be all the regel. Why didn't his mother want to bring him to be all the regel? He was before the age of two. The assumption is he's already able to ride on his father's shoulders as a 1 year old. Amar lei avu al taimeich tikshilach chana gufa milo mechayve besimcha. You can ask a better kasha. What about Chana herself? Forget about the kid. How come Chana wasn't all the regel? El Chana mifankusa yisir techazi baby Shmuel vechash baby Shmuel lechul shadu urcha. She saw that Shmuel was a mafunuk. She saw that Shmuel was going to have difficulty with traveling, and she didn't want him to become a chala, and therefore she was pater from bringing him. But a typical child who's not such a mafunuk, who's not so particular about walking and about getting dirty and about whatever it is, that the travails of traveling wouldn't affect him so much, that would Enochinami, as soon as he's old enough to ride on the father's shoulders, would have to be l'regel. Tari Evan raises the question, based on the maskana of the Gemara, that the mitzvah of chinuch katanim is only midrabanan, so what kind of kash is this that we're asking on the Beis Shammai? How come Chana didn't bring Shmuel? It's a mitzvah midrabanan to be mechanech a child. Maybe the mitzvah midrabanan didn't exist yet at the time of Chana and Shmuel. This is pretty early on in Nevi'im Rishonim. Who says that the mitzvah of chinuch was already instituted at that time? The Nitziv in Hamek She'ela says that even though the mitzvah wasn't yet instituted, it's hard to believe that they wouldn't have done it anyway. That someone like Elkanah would not have done it anyway. Which, what does that mean exactly? If there was no mitzvah, why is it so hard to believe that he wouldn't have done it anyway? It's probably touching on a point that Rav Asher Weiss makes in a number of places in this past week's, in one of his essays on this past week's parasha. He makes this point. He makes it in Sefer Bereishis in Siman Chaf Aleph, where he points out that the mitzvah of chinuch, to say that the mitzvah of chinuch midrabanan, is very difficult to imagine. What was the Torah? What did the Torah envision for raising Jewish children? Was the Torah's vision of raising Jewish children to just have him eat chazer treif and let him do all sorts of, until he's 13, and then boom, he hits 13 and he got all the mitzvahs? Now, is that a recipe for success? I mean, what was the thought process? How could it be? It took the Rabbanan to institute the concept of chinuch. So he says it's clearly not the case. He says it's pashut shal kol av ve'eim mutelas chov v'kadosh l'chanech b'neim u'b'noseim l'torah l'mitzvah la'av l'yira. Clearly there's a chiv on a d'oraisa level for every father and mother to train their child to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Avram Avinu singled out ki yedativ l'man asher yitzav ez banav u'beis o'acharav v'shamru derech Hashem lasal tzedak u'mishpat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I choose Avram because he's going to teach his children. So the whole point is that it's understood that you're going to teach your children. And he says but the technical elements, the element of each particular mitzvah, training a child in any particular mitzvah, that's midrabanan. That you should, when he's yodel and aneya, he should shake a lulav. When he's yodel isate, if he should wear tzitzis. That's all midrabanan. But the general concept of being mechanich for the entire experience of Yiddishkeit, that certainly is something that is a requirement midaraisa, and this fits into the category of what Rav Asher Weiss likes to call ratzon hatorah, meaning it may not be a technical chiv that you find in the Torah, but it's clearly the ratzon hatorah. It's clearly, and he holds that something that you can clearly discern as ratzon hatorah is a chiv d'oraisa. That ratzon hatorah is not just a dvar musar, it's something that's a mechayiv midoraisa. The fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu says about Avram Avinu that what makes him special is that he's going to teach his children, although that's not a tzivoy, that tells us that Kodesh Baruch Hu wants all of us to be mechanech our children. But the technical elements are only drabban. So one could argue that being olah l'regel is something that's such an experiential part of Judaism that it would be be understood. It will be self-understood that even if chinuch technically is the rabbanon, the overall concept of giving a child that experience would certainly be included in the daraisa, and therefore the Gemara's kasha on Chana and Shmuel is a good kasha. Tzuri Evan also asks, based on the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Ches and Beis, the Gemara learns from the pasuk liyachem rishis artzicha ba'alos kol diros that anyone who doesn't have karka is not olah l'regel, because there's a haftacha that when you go to be olah l'regel, no one's going to want your land. It has to be, no one's going to take your land from you. So we learn from there that you have to have land in order to be olah l'regel. Now a gadol is potter if he doesn't have any karka, so that's what the Gemara drives over there. So l'chora who adin a katan that doesn't have any karka should be potter to be olah l'regel. So how can we ask on Shmuel as a katan, how come he wasn't olah l'regel? Mustami didn't have any karka, so he would be potter anyway. And you can't say that no, it's only because a katan doesn't have a kinyan, that's why it's not shaykh that he would have karka. So it's only his katnus that's causing him not to have any karka. So that's not true. A katan can have a kinyan. A katan can get karka b'yerusha. Same way a gadol gets karka b'yerusha. Not only can he, the bizman shay yovel noheg could be that everyone's the only people that had karka were people that had a b'yerusha. Anyone else who purchased land only had a kinyan peros in the land, because all the land had to go back at Yovel. So whatever kinyan they had was not really a kinyan in the karka, it was only a kinyan peros. So the katan's in the same boat as the gadol. So ask the Tori Evan, why don't we say that the katan is part of the Shmuel, is part of the olah l'regel, because he was a katan who didn't own karka? Say, no, can I mean there's a chiv on a katan, but that's only if he has karka. So the Tori Evan says, clearly you have to assume the yesod is that when we say a katan is pater, if he's in a position that a gadol would be pater, that's talking about a chisaron in his guf. He's a chiger, he's a suma, a gadol is pater in that situation, so we say you don't have to be mechanech a katan either. But some other technical chisaron, like not having karka, even though that would be enough to pater a gadol, if we would pater katanim based on that, we would be mevatel the whole inyan of chinuch. There wouldn't be any chinuch, because 99% of the katanim don't have any karka, and therefore they never instituted that the katan would be pater based on lack of karka. And that's why the Gemara's kasha again from Shmuel was a good kasha, and the Gemara's teretz was that he was a mafunuk, so Chana wanted to protect him. By Rabbi Shimon, katan chiger ledivrei beishamai v'sumu ledivrei shneihem mahu. What if you have a katan who cannot walk according to beishamai? So if an adult who cannot walk would be pater. Is a katan in that same position also therefore pater? That's only a kasha according to beishamai. It's only shaila according to beishamai, because according to beisilal, the age that a katan is old is when he could hold his father's hand and walk. So obviously a katan chiger would be pater according to beisilal. We're asking within beishamai. Or a suma ledivrei shneihem, an adult that's a suma would be pater. So do we say the same thing by a katan? Frankly, Gemara, well, wait a second, what are you talking about? Hey, chidami, what exactly are the specifics of the shayla? If you're talking about someone who's incurable and he's going to be that way for the rest of his life, he's always going to be blind, he's always going to be unable to walk, then of course the katan is pater. If he were a gadol in that situation, he's pater, and when he becomes a gadol, he's going to be pater. So what are you being mechanichim for? Him for something that is going to be putter when he's a gadol, that's ridiculous. We would never say such a thing. So Gemara says that's not the kasha. Latzricha b'chiger sheyachol ispashit v'sumo sheyachol ispateach. My, what if he's currently blind? He's currently unable to walk, but he's going to be cured. There's a good chance that he's going to be cured, and that as an adult he will be able to see. He will be able to walk. Is there a mitzvah of chinuch on such a katan? Amar Abaye. Abaye says the rule is as follows: Kol hecha de gadol mechayiv midaraisa, katanami mechanchinan lemidrabanan. If this child were 13 years old in the current predicament that he's in, he would be chayiv daraisa. Then we have a chinuch derabanan, mitzvah of chinuch derabanan on him. But kol hecha de gadol pater midaraisa midrabanan katanami pater. Any time a gadol would be pater midaraisa, given this predicament, given this condition that the child has, if he were 13 years old, he would be pater. Then we say that as a katan, there's no chiyuv of chinuch either. Now, Rashi again says, as I mentioned before, that the reason why, according to Beis Hillel, there's no question about a katan chiger is because he's not able to hold his father's hand. So it's pashut that a katan chiger is pater. It's just interesting that the Rambam in the second paragraph of Chagiga, Vilchus Chagiga, writes, Vim haya katan chiger, he says, if the katan was a chiger or suffered from any other disability, eino chayiv lechancho, you don't have to be mechanichim, why not? She'ilu haya gadol, v'hu kach haya pater, because if he were a gadol in that same situation, he'd be pater. Sounds like even on the chiger, it's saying that the only reason he's pater is because a gadol who's a chiger would be pater, therefore the katan who's a chiger is pater. Mishnah Melech asks on the Rambam, why does the Rambam have to say that the reason of the pater is because if he were a gadol, he'd be pater, that we pass like Basil anyway. According to Basil, you don't need that reason. According to Basil, he's pater for a much more fundamental reason. He can't walk, and you're only chayiv if you can walk. The child is only chayiv if he's old enough to walk. So Mary Korkus on the side of the Rambam says that the Rambam was just using a shit for the Lishna. He put together the Chiger, the Summa, the Cherish. I only read you some of the words of the Rambam. After he talks about Chiger, he says a Summa, a Cherish. So he wants to give a reason that works for all of the different disabilities. So that reason works for all the disabilities, not just the disability of being unable to walk. And then he says that the Rambam may be focused on what he continues and what he goes on to say over there, that even if a person is a chiger, a sumer, or a cherish, ba'achas meraglav, they still don't have a chiv to be mechanichim. Even if he's only partially disabled, still don't have a chiv to be mechanichim. Now, in that case, the shaila would be even according, the suffix of the Gemara would have been even according to Beis Hillel, because if he only has problems with one foot, he could hold his father's hand on that side, and he could use his father like a cane, and he should be able to, and he should be able to walk. So Beis Hillel would have the same shaila, and therefore you would need to rely on the Gemara's answer that anyone who's not chayv midar raisa as a gadol would be pater midrabanan as a katan. Now there is a discussion Rav Moshe has. Rav Moshe brings an interesting raya from our Gemara to a totally different topic that we probably would not have associated with our Gemara. Rav Moshe was asked in a tshuva about co-education. So what does co-education have to do with our Gemara? So Rav Moshe says, first he says, let's talk about dalad minim, the halachas of giving lulav and esrog to a child. Can you be mechanich a katan? The halacha is on the first day of Sukkot, the lulav and esrog has to be lachem, it has to belong to you. And if you give it to a child, the child has the ability to make a kinyan, but he doesn't have the ability to be makne back to you. So that's why in Shulchan Aruch it says, if you only have one lulav and esrog, use it for yourself first on the first day, and then give it to him, because it needs to be shalachem. Once you give it to him, you're not going to be able to get it back. He cannot be makne back to you. What about if you choose to do the following? You give it to the child having das specifically not to be makne it to him, that you don't want him to own the lulav and esrog, that he should not be able to make a kinyan. Without a das acheres makne, he cannot make the kinyan. He can only make the kinyan if you are makne it to him. Can you give it to him in that way? Are you in fulfillment of your mitzvah of chinuch if you give a child dalad minim where it's not going to be shalom, it's not going to be his, and the din is on the first day it has to be shalachem? On the one hand, you say, well, it can't be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of chinuch. He's not getting the mitzvah. It's like giving him a piece of celery and a lemon and telling him to. It's not dalad minim. If it's not shalachem, it's not the mitzvah. On the other hand, piece of celery and a lemon is something that's discernible. He could see that that's not a lulav and esrog. But this, he doesn't know the difference. He doesn't know what's going on in your head, whether you're being makne to him or not. So if Moshe quotes Machlokas, he points out, Magen Avraham says that one is not yotzei the mitzvah of chinuch. Magen Avraham, Tafreish Nun Ches, Sivkan Ches says one is not yotzei the mitzvah of chinuch in this way without being makne it to him. Mishnah Brura seems to be cholik on that. So there seems to be a Machlokas achronim about that. So if Moshe says that the what's the issue at hand over here? The issue is the nature of the mitzvah of chinuch. Does the mitzvah of chinuch have to be done in such a way where if he were a gadol right now, then this would be permissible, then this would be fine, this would be a mitzvah? Or is it that you're just training him in a way where he'll come to the record, where if he does these same activities when he's actually a gadol, he'll be able to get the mitzvah? If he were a gadol right now, he needs to have been able to fulfill the mitzvah. Well, he's not getting the mitzvah. It's not shalachem. If you were a gadol in this same situation, it wouldn't work. But if it's that you just need to train him in such a way where he'll know to do these activities as an adult, well, he's going to do the same activity as an adult, and it will be fine, and he'll get the mitzvah. So Rav Moshe says the raya is from our sugya that Rav Shimon Lakish asked about a katan chiger according to Beis Shammai, who's going to be better, a suma that's going to get better as an adult, whether you have the mitzvah to bring him to be ol regel, and Tosfos says that the shaila is about a chiger that's going to get better, a suma that's going to get better before he ever hits gadlus, before his bar mitzvah. Do we say that since when he's older, he's going to become chayv daraisa because he's not going to be a chiger, he's not going to be a suma? Right now he's chayv in terms of chinuch, because the reason for chinuch is to so that he'll know how to do the mitzvah when he's a gadol, and when he's a gadol he's going to be chayv in the mitzvah. So right now you have to be mechanich him for that situation that he's going to be in as a gadol. Or do you say no, since a gadol in this matzav, a gadol in his current predicament would be pater, so mela he's pater also? And Abaye's answer is, anytime a gadol is going to be pater, a katan is also going to be pater, even though this child as a gadol is going to be chayiv. So Rav Moshe says, l'chor, it's tali in the machlokas haposkin between the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah. If the inyan of chinuch is even in a situation where there's no kiyum mitzvah, because according to the way he views the world, the way he sees it when he's taking the dalet minim, he doesn't realize that he's not being mekayim the mitzvah. So you are being margil him in the mitzvah. So then you should be mechayiv a tinok that's a chiger or a suma. If he's going to get better, be margil him in the mitzvah. But if the chiyuv of chinuch is that where the father has to see to it that the child is fulfilling the mitzvah, ki'ilu is an enem mitzvah v'yosa, fulfilling the mitzvah, actually getting the mitzvah, well then it doesn't make sense to do so on a chiger suma. What does that have to do with coeducation? Rav Moshe says, what about coeducation of very young children? Clearly it's inappropriate for older boys and girls to mix together, for adults to mix together too much men and women. That's clearly inappropriate. That's beferish and shulchan aruch and kama gemaras and shas. That's not a discussion. What about children who don't yet have a yetzer hara? So a child who doesn't yet have a yetzer hara for the opposite gender, is there an inyan of chinuch to dafka separate them? So what if you have a gadol who didn't have a yetzer hara? So there'd be nothing wrong with a gadol doesn't have a yetzer hara. There's no such mitzvah. But if a gadol didn't have a yetzer hara, there would be nothing wrong. But what if you have a katan who doesn't yet have a yetzer hara? So if it's about just teaching him, this is about him getting the mitzvah, about him doing the mitzvah, like being an enem mitzvah v'yosa. So the same would be by yisurin, that he would have to have the same yetzer hara as an adult. Without a yetzer hara would be fine. So as a child without a yetzer hara, it's fine. But if it's about being margil him in certain behaviors, that you teach him that okay, boys and girls mixed together is fine. So you're being margil him in certain behaviors, even though he doesn't have a yetzer hara, then it should be aser. So he talks about children below the age of having a yetzer hara is totally in that not machlokas. That's how Rav Moshe analyzes, as only Rav Moshe could when asked about coeducation. That's how he analyzes. And often a machlokas magen arvav mishnah brura when it comes to dalad minim. That's the machlokas. Okay, further in the Gemara now. There was also machlokas in our Mishnah how much the karbanos are supposed to cost. How much the karbanos are supposed to cost? Rei Shammai says the olas riya should cost shtei kesef, the chagiga ma'a kesef, and Beis Hillel says the reverse. The olas riya only a ma'a kesef, the chagiga should be shtei kesef. Tan Rabban, Rei Shammai omer riya shtei kesef, the chagiga ma'a kesef. Why is it that the olas riya should cost more than the shalmei chagiga? Two reasons. Shariya ola kula legavoa, mashen ken bechagiga. First of all, the olas riya is more special because it all gets burnt. It all goes legavoa. It all gets burnt on the mizbeach as opposed to the shalmei chagiga, which is eaten. We find on Shavuos that there's more olos than there are shlamim. So those are the two reasons, the two indications that olah is more important than the shalmei chagiga. The olos riyah is more important than the shalmei chagiga, therefore it should be more expensive. Beis Hillel says, I'll give you two reasons in the other direction. The shalmei chagiga or shtei kesef, olos riyah is only one. Shechagiga yeshal lefnei adibur mashen kein b'riyah. Chagiga already existed before Har Sinai, whereas olos Riyah didn't exist before Har Sinai. How do we know it existed before Matan Torah? Rashi points out, Kodem Matan Torah, Krivu Shlam B'Sinai, Dichsiv, Vayishlach Es Na'ar Rei B'nei Yisrael. Pasuk talks about sending Na'ar Rei B'nei Yisrael to bring Karbanos. V'yalfagav Da'ai Krok Siv B'Veila Mishpatim, L'achar Aser Sedibros, Kodem Aser Sedibros Hava. Rashi says, yes, that pasuk appears in the Chumash after Parshas Yisro, it appears in Parshas Mishpatim, after the Aseres Dibros, but it actually describes events that occurred before the Aseres Dibros, because Ein Muktam Mukhar B'Torah, the Torah is not written in chronological order. Va'on Matzinu B'Nesim, and a second reason that we're going to say that Re'iyah is less important than the Chagiga, is Matzinu B'Nesim, Shariv Ben Akasa B'Shlamim, Yosem Riba'olos. We find that the Nesim, there are more Shlamim than there are Olos by the Kabbalists of the Nesim, so Shlamim must be more important
important. So frankly, Gemara Vesil, my time alarm could be Shammai, but what's wrong with Beishamai's reasons? Why did Vesil reject the reasons of Beishamai to favor the Ola? So the Ka'amrit, that which Beishamai says, Ri'iya Adifa da Ola Kula Lagavoa, that the Ola's Ri'iya is better, is more Kadosh, because it all goes Lagavoa, it all gets burnt on the Mizbeach. Adarab, Chagiga Adifa Dispashtei Achilos. Well, one could just as easily argue the other way, that Chagiga is better because there are Shtei Achilos for a Chagiga. There's Achilas Mizbeach, and there's Achilas B'nai Adam. Udka'amrit, and the other Taina that Beishamai had, Nelef Me'atzeres, that we shall learn out from the Karbonos of Shavuos, done in Karbon Yachin, Mikarbon Yachin, Vein done in Karbon Yachin, Mikarbon Sibur. We would rather learn out the halachas of a Karbon Yachin from a Karbon Yachin, not Karbon Yachin from a Karbon Sibur. The halachas that are brought on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael and Yom Tovim are different than the Olas Riyah Shalmei Chagiga that each and every individual has to bring. Those are Karbonos Yachid. So we'd rather compare apples and apples, not compare apples and oranges over here. So we're going to compare it to Karbonos Yachid, not to Karbonos Tzibur. Sfasemis explains, we say it has Shtei Achilos, and therefore what's basically saying, that the Karbon Shlamim is more important, more holy, than the Karbon Ola, because the Karbon Shlamim gets eaten by people, and the Karbon Ola does not. He just has a hard time understanding that you're going to say that a Karbon Shlamim has more Kedusha than a Karbon Ola. That's not true. Karbon Ola is more Kedusha than Kachim Kachim and Kachim Kalim. I mean, there's no doubt that a Karbon Ola has more Kedusha than a Karbon Shlamim. That's a sort of Kachim. How can you say that Beis Hillel argues that because it's eaten by people that makes it more special? He says no. Says Fasem, it doesn't mean it makes it more special. It means it makes sense that it should cost twice as much money, because there should be a ma'a kesef for each achila. That if there's only achilas gavoa, so a ma'a kesef for the achila. If there's achilas gavoa plus achilas hadyon plus achilas b'nei adam, so there should be a ma'a kesef for each achila. That's all it's saying. It's simple mathematics. It's not to comment on the kedusha, on the relative kedusha of the carbon. Why didn't Beis Shammai like the reasons that were offered by the Beis Hillel? That which the Beis Hillel wanted to say, that Chagiga, the Shalmei Chagiga, is better, because it existed before Matan Torah. Well, the Olas Riyah also existed before Matan Torah. And Beis Shammai is going to say, no, you also can't learn anything from the Karbonos of the Nesiim, because that was a one-time thing. That's not something that's Noig L'Doros. We want to learn out halachos of things that are Noig L'Doros. So at the same time, you should compare apples and apples, but we're talking about, instead of looking at whether the it's a carbon yachid or a carbon sibur, look at whether this is a carbon that's ever going to have to be brought again. So Beis Shammai says, we'd want to compare carbonos that are halachos L'Doros. How does Beis Hillel know that Chagiga existed before Matan Torah? The pasuk says that they shechted shlamim. So since the pasuk describes shechting shlamim, that's how he knows that they had this before Matan Torah. That's the pasuk in Parashat Mishpatim. Vayishlaches narei bnei Yisrael vayalu olos yizbuchu zvachim shlamim l'Hashem parim. But frankly, Gemara Rianami haksiv. In fact, right before the phrase "Vayizbuchu zvachim shlamim," it says "Vayalu olos," that they brought olos as well. So how could Beis Hillel say that shlamim is more important than olos? Because shlamim or lefnei adibur, the very pasuk that you learned that shlamim or lefnei adibur also says that they brought olos. Beis Hillel holds, no, that was a different Ola. That was an Ola's Tamid, that was a Chiyuv B'chol Yom B'yom. We can't learn anything from the Tamid. The Tamid is its own separate category. Beis Shammai says, no, it was not an Ola's Tamid. Ola Shekriv Yisrael B'midbar, Ola's Re'iyavai. The Ola that they brought in the Midbar was an Ola's Re'iyah. And therefore, we can learn from the Ola's Re'iyah. It was an Ola's Re'iyah, it was not an Ola's Tamid. Amar Abayi, now Abayi makes a comment that's going to take us through most of the rest of the daf. Beis Shammai, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yishmael, Kulu Svirulu, Olas Shekriv Yisrael B'midbar, Olas Riyah Havai. We can demonstrate that Beis Shammai, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Yishmael all hold that the Ola that was brought in the Midbar, that the Chumash describes in Parshas Mishpatim, was an Olas Riyah, not an Olas Tamid. Tosus points out, wait a second, is that a good thing? We want to align Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yishmael together with Beis Shammai. How could they go against Beis Hillel and say like Beis Shammai? You never pass like Beis Shammai against the Beis Hillel. Answers Tosos Yeshlomer Desfiru Lulo Nechlu Beis Shammai Yisil B'davar Zeh. Clearly, these other opinions are going to hold that it's not even a machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. That even Beis Hillel would agree that it was an olas ri'iyah and then it was not an olas tamid, and they're therefore passing like both opinions. But the way we have presented the Shitas Beis Shammai, these other Tanaim align with our presentation of the Shitas Beis Shammai, but they hold it's the Shitas Beis Hillel as well. And on the other hand, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Kulu Sviru Lu Alashu Krivi Sobin Berolus Tamed Avai. This other group of Tanaim, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, all hold that the olda they brought in the Midbar was an olas tamid. So let's demonstrate each one. We have six opinions now to demonstrate. Beis Shammai Hadiyamin. Beis Shammai that says that it was an olas ria. We already showed that Beis Shammai holds it was an olas ria. That's why Beis Shammai doesn't think that the carbon shlamim has any advantage over the carbon ola based on the fact that it was brought before Matan Torah, because Beis Shammai says the olas ria was also brought before Matan Torah. So we've already demonstrated that. Rabbi Shmuel, where does Rabbi Shmuel hold that the olas ria was brought before Matan Torah? The Tanya, we have a brisa. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shmuel. Now it's important to note, because we're going to go backtrack on pinning Rabbi Shmuel with Shitas Beis Shammai later on in the Gemara. Rabbi Shmuel never comments about a carbon ola, about any carbon being brought before Matan Torah. He just gives a general rule about what changed exactly at Matan Torah and the development of giving over of Torah of the Torah to the Jewish people. And based on the way he presents the Mesoras HaTorah, the Mesiras HaTorah, based on that, we're going to deduce what he must have held about the Karban Ola. So what does Rabbi Shmuel actually say? Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Klalos Nemru B'Sinai. The general rules were given at Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, we didn't learn everything. We didn't learn all the details. Upratos Ba'ol Moed. Once the Mishkan was already erected, that's when we were taught all of the details of the various Karbanos and the various Halachos. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, no. Klalos Upratos Nemru B'Sinai, V'nishnu Ba'ol Moed, V'nishtalshu Ba'arvos Moed. Everything was taught at Har Sinai, then it was taught a second time at Ol Moed, then a third time at Arvas Moed, but it was already with all of the details the first time around. If you're going to say that the Ola that was brought in the Midbar was an Olas Tamid, how could it be that the Olas Tamid was brought before we knew any of the details, meaning before we knew of the halachos of skinning it and cutting it up into its pieces? So we had an Olas Tamid that had no Hefshet V'nituach, and then it changed later on. Then afterwards we got some of the details, and all of a sudden now there was Hefshet V'nituach. Now the halach has changed. It can't be. So that's how we know that Rabbi Shmuel must have held that it was not the Olas Tamid that was brought before Matan Torah, because the Olas Tamid could not have changed. The halachos of the Olas Tamid could not have changed, and therefore must have only been the Olas Re'iyah that was brought before Matan Torah, not the Olas Tamid. That's how we put Rabbi Shmuel together with the Beis Shammai. Rabbi Lazar, where does Rabbi Lazar hold that it was the Olas Re'iya that was brought before Matan Torah? D'tanya, we have the following brisa. Olas Tamid Asuya Bar Sinai. Rabbi Lazar Omer Ma'aseh Nemru B'Sinai V'hi Atzma Lo Karva. That it was described at Har Sinai, but it wasn't actually brought at Har Sinai. Whereas Rabbi Kiva Omer Karva V'Shuv Lo Paska. Rabbi Kiva says, no, they did bring the Tamid at Har Sinai, and once they started bringing the Tamid, it didn't stop. Elamani Mekayim Hazvachim Umincha Yigashlim Li B'Midbar Arba'im Shana Beis Yisrael. What's the pasuk referring to when it talks about the karbanos that were brought? Shifto Shel Levi Shel Avdu Avodah Zarah Hei Nekrivu Osah. It's referring specifically to the Shevet Levi volunteering to bring certain karbanos because they didn't do Avodah Zarah. So now, those are the three opinions that all hold. That's how we see Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shmuel, and Beis Shammai all hold that the Ola that was brought before Matan Torah was the Olas Re'iyah. Now, what about the other side? The Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who all hold that it was the Olas Tamid. Well, Beis Hillel had the Amr. Beis Hillel, we already explained that Beis Hillel holds that it was the Olas Tamid, and that's why the Shalmei Chagiga is better than the Olas Re'iyah, because only the Shalmei Chagiga, not the Olas Re'iyah, was brought before Matan Torah. Rabbi Akiva, Hanami the Amr. Well, we already demonstrated the Shita of Rabbi Akiva as well, because Rabbi Akiva said that the Klalos Upratos were Namru B'Sinai. Everything was already given at Har Sinai, and therefore it's possible possible that they were bringing already an olas tamid, and nothing had to change. We didn't have to then adjust it for hefshet v'nituach, because we already had hefshet v'nituach at Har Sinai. So Rabbi Akiva fits very nicely as well. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili, where do we find Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds this way, that olas riyah was brought before Matan Torah? Titania, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, I'm sorry, that olas riyah was not brought before Matan Torah, it was only the olas tamid. Titania, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, sholosh mitzvos in Savi Yisrael ba'olosim l'regel. There are three mitzvos that the Jewish people have when we're olah l'regel. Ri'iyah, v'chagiga, v'simcha. The three mitzvos are ri'iyah, chagiga, and simcha. These are the three karbanos. The olas ri'iyah, shalmi chagiga, and the shalmi simcha. Yesh b'ri'iyah she'ein b'shtehen. There is an element of the olas ri'iyah that the other two don't share. V'yesh b'chagiga she'ein b'shtehen. There's an element of shalmi chagiga that the other two don't share. And yesh b'simcha she'ein b'shtehen. There's an element of shalmi simcha that the other two don't share. What is this? What are these the details? Yesh b'ri'iyah she'ein b'shtehen. What's unique about the olas ri'iyah is shari'iyah l'kul l'gvama she'ein ken b'shtehen. It's a carbonola. It all gets burnt. The shalmi chagiga and shalmi simcha are shlamim. They don't all get burnt. They get eaten. Yesh b'chagiga she'ein b'shtehen. Chagiga is a unique element. She'chagiga yeshna l'fnei adibur. Ma she'ein b'shtehen. That the shalmi chagiga existed before Matan Torah. But not the olas ri'iyah. So here you see explicit that the olas ri'iyah did not exist before Matan Torah. And that's why we're quoting this whole thing. Yesh b'simcha ma she'ein b'shtehen. And shalmi simcha have a unique element. Sha simcha nohages b'anashim u'b'nashim ma she'ein b'shtehen. Simcha is knowing for both men and women. And over here you have explicit, it's about the shalmi simcha that's knowing for both men and women, as opposed to the olas ri'iyah and the shalmei chagiga, which are not for both men and women. Frank tells us, why doesn't it say that yesh b'shtein should tzrich and shir, as opposed to shalmei simcha, there's no shir. Ma kesef, shtei kesef, that's for olas ri'iyah, shalmei chagiga, but shalmei simcha, there's no shir. So he says, Tosfos points out that what we're dafka doing is showing a character that a characteristic that one of them has that the other two don't have, not something that two of them have that the other one doesn't have. So that's why that doesn't make the list. Rabbi Shmuel, my time of kumuks mitzvah kibei shamai. Now revisit. Now that we've shown the three shitos on each side, says the Gemara, let's revisit Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Why did we assume that Rabbi Shmuel was going like the Beishamai? That Rabbi Shmuel was working with the assumption that the olas ri'iyah was brought before my Matan Torah, because Isal Kadai Techolah Shukrivi Sol B'Midbar Olas Tamid Avai Miika Mididi Marakolah B'Yavshin Tvinituachul B'Sof B'Yavshin Tvinituach. What we said on the top of the Amud, and we're repeating now, is what motivated Rabbi Shmuel, what motivated us to say that Rabbi Shmuel must have been going like the Beis Shammai, is that Rabbi Shmuel held that at Har Sinai we still didn't have the details of Hefshet Vinituach. So it can't be that we already had a Karban Tamid and yet we didn't know about Hefshet Vinituach till later, so the halachos of the Karban Tamid changed midstream. But frek the Gemara, v'Rabbi Yossi Aglili damar olas shekrivi Yisrael b'midbar olas tamid avai meyikar lo b'yafshin tuachul b'sof b'yafshin tuach. What's Rabbi Yossi Aglili going to do with that? Rabbi Yossi Aglili says it was the olas tamid that was brought beforehand, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that we only learned the details of hefshet v'nituach afterwards. How's it mean? He holds that even before Matan Torah we were ready to bring the olas tamid, and clearly before Matan Torah we didn't have hefshet v'nituach. So what was it? How's he going to understand how it changes midstream? The Tanya Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says explicitly, Hefshet V'nituach only began at Ohel Moed. So what's Rabbi Yossi Aglili going to do with this? Apparently, it is okay to say that it changed at some point, that we started bringing the Karban Tamid without Hefshet V'nituach, and later on we introduced the halachos of Hefshet V'nituach. Says Gemara, it's a good point. Sami mikan Rabbi Shmuel. We have no raya that Rabbi Shmuel therefore agrees to the Beis Shammai. Rabbi Shmuel does not necessarily agree to the Beis Shammai. So our list only includes on Beis Shammai's side, Rabbi Shammai and Rabbi Lazar, and on Beis Hillel's side, still Beis Hillel, Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We could take Rabbi Shmuel off the list, and that's why I made the point before saying that, remember that Rabbi Shmuel never comments about a single carbon. He doesn't talk about a carbon tamid. He doesn't talk about a carbon ola. All he comments about is chlalos upratos. When did we get the details? Did we get the details at our Sinai already? Did we only get the details later? The rest was just the Gemara's deduction from Rabbi Shmuel. Boy Rav Chista, Haikra Hechiksiv. He says, how do you read the following pasuk in Chumash? Vayishlach is Nara Bnei Yisrael Vayalu Olas. Once we're talking about this pasuk, should we read it as follows, that they sent the Nara Bnei Yisrael and they brought up Olos, and we should read that as, yeah, what kind of Olos? Probably Kvasim, sheep. And then the second half of the pasuk, Vayizvachu Zvachim Shlam LaHashem, Parim. But the Shlamim that they brought were Parim.
Odilmar, maybe you should say no. Edvd parma havu. What the pasuk sounds like. Viyishlachus nara bnei Yisrael veyalu olos viyizbuchus vachum shlamim. They brought olos and shlam l'Hashem parim, and the olos and the shlamim were parim. So is it that the essentially what the Gemara is asking is, were the olos sheep or were the olos parim? Is the word parim going back on both of the previous phrases or only the second of the previous phrases? Says Gemara the Ma'inaf Gemina. I'm sure they knew what to do. So what difference does it make for us? Ma'idahavahava. What difference does it make for us? And the Gemara Masuch Amar lePisuk Tamim. It makes a huge difference for us. We have to know how to read the trap, and this is one of the rayas that the post can bring. That even though the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch that something that doesn't change the meaning of the word, like trap, doesn't have to be corrected when a Balkari gets it wrong. The Achronim point out that Ramah is talking about most trap, where it won't change the meaning of the word. But there are examples of trap that do change the meaning of the pasuk and the meaning of a. And this would be an example. If you have an asnachta, that would show that it breaks up the pasuk into two separate phrases. If you don't have an asnachta, then it would show that it's one continual phrase. So here's a good example of where trap is going to change the meaning of the pasuk. Rav Acha b'Rei D'Rava Amar, another nafkamina la omer. If a guy says, Harei alai ola, if a guy takes the neder that he's going to bring a carbon ola, that's the exact same animal that Klal Yisrael brought in the midbar. What kind of animal does he have to bring? Does he have to bring kvasim or does he have to bring parim? So it's important to know. Take who the Gemara says we don't know. We leave it unresolved. Our chop puts in a snafu there, I believe.